Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Chuck Pagano talks about his return to the Ravens during OTAs in Owings Mills.
Okay, I guess this isn't McAfee, so I got to watch my language, right? Yeah, so if I mess up and throw out one, make sure we can wipe it off. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so I mean, you were part of media for a little while doing that. Didn't any knocking off rust getting back into coaching? What was it like getting back to coaching for you?
You got to get in football shape. You know how we tell the guys we're fixing to send them home for the summer, and you always worry about that, right? Because they're in great shape now, and then everybody's got a month off. So you want them to come back in football shape, but you really can't replicate, you know, the pads and all those kind of things. Coaching's no different, you know. So I'm pretty damn good on a Peloton. You know, I ride my tail off on that bike. But coming out and running around with these guys again, that took a minute, you know. And I don't have the bounce in my step that I used to, but it's been awesome. I'm so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be back. You know, it's always something when you have something, you kind of take it for granted, and then when you don't, you realize just how special it was to coach and be a part of something, be a part of a team, have the relationships, you know, that you develop and build when you're part of something like that. So it's been awesome. Got obviously a gold standard of organizations top down, and the familiarity with John staff's a lot different, but you know, felt like I knew everybody. You know, Manny, you know, in the kitchen, you know, he bugging me every day still, you know, like I never was gone, you know, see all, you know, a ton of familiar faces. So it's been, they've all made a, you know, pretty easy transition.
Besides Jameson still being here, you know, what's been consistent about sort of, I mean, like you said, it's been a bunch of years since you were here last, but, you know, the organization's pretty famous for its consistency. What do you kind of notice off the bat?
Just the same. I mean, the standard is the standard. I know that's cliche-ish, you know, but you know, the type of people, like, if you don't, John talked about it today, Gruden was here today, like, if you don't love ball, you can't survive here. You know, there's a big difference between like and love, you know, in a relationship. You know, it's going to be 36 years in July for me and my wife. If I would have just kind of liked marriage, that would have been over probably 35 years ago. You know, but she sacrificed a lot. But you gotta love ball, and the type of people that they bring in here, the football character, the football IQ, the standards, what the expectations are, that hasn't changed. You know, just seeing Oz every day, Eric every day, John, it's like you never really left. You know, building's a little bit bigger, they're adding on again, some of those things, but. Been pretty seamless.
Exactly. You look around the league, it's especially on the defensive side of the ball, you're seeing more positionless football guys that can play all over the place. The Ravens have a couple of those guys on their defense. How different is that, you know, trying to scheme up and coach those types of guys compared to, you know, guys used to play just seven positions?
Yeah, I mean, when you have a guy, I'm assuming you're talking about a guy like Kyle, you know, Hamilton, you know, Marlon Humphrey, you know, veteran guy, been in the league a long, long time, can play outside, can play the nickel. Kyle, play deep, play big nickel, play dime linebacker, play deep in coverage, play man, blitz, all those kind of things. When you have, you know, chess pieces, as we like to refer to them, and you can move those things around, not only, you know, his football character, but then his skill set and his ability to do all the things. You think about, you know, the wide receiver groups that we're going to have to face, the quarterbacks that we're going to have to face. You're going to have, you know, dudes like that. Roquan, I was with Roquan, as you guys know, in Chicago. You know, I knew the minute, you know, he came over here that he was going to be a game changer, you know, for this defense and for this unit. Those guys, again, their football smarts, their football IQ, their love for the game, their passion for the game, their passion for playing for one another is off the charts. So you can't have enough of those guys.
Chuck, how do you ensure that the secondary hits the ground?
One second.
Yeah.
Go
Zach's
ahead.
Going to be a second-year play caller. What has stuck out to you about him so far?
Zach is awesome. As you guys know, ton of energy, ton of juice, ton of passion. He's super smart, super intelligent. He knows this, you know, defense inside and out. And I just look at the transformation, like what happened here on defense. When you look at from the bye week on, there wasn't a better defense in the National Football League. They gave up probably an average of 270, 280 yards total. Pass defense was awesome. Rush defense, of course, they led the league anyway in that. Their turnover margin, third down, everything was you know, number one or two in the National Football League. So I think it's a process, you know, and stepping into that role. You know, I stepped into that role back in 2011 here. You know, coached the secondary for 3 years. And then all of a sudden, a guy leaves, and you get the opportunity of a lifetime to be that play call. That was, that's a process. That takes time. Now the system, you know, has been in place. The players were, you know, the same. So Zach's fortunate that way. I was really fortunate that way, and he's got a bunch of great coaches, you know, excluding one 65-year-old man, you know, in that defensive room. So I'm just trying to do my part, stay in my lane, know my role, but. Yeah, he's been tremendous. And, you know, the thing about Zach, he's going to hold himself accountable, but he's not afraid to hold these kids accountable, these players accountable. You know, and he's going to be honest with them. He's going to be upfront. He's going to be forthright, and he's going to tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear, which is, to me, which is huge. And that's a great quality to have.
Chuck, how do you ensure that the secondary hits the road in the running this year? Because I think those guys would be the first to say that they didn't play up to standard that they expected.
Yeah, I think we're off to a great start. You know, right now, Donald D'Alessio is the secondary coach. He comes over from Kansas City. He's done a phenomenal job of you know, to this point of getting not only the veterans that have been here, but these young players, these rookie players, Malachi, the couple corners that we drafted, you know, BK and Beam, you know, so he's done a great job. But we've got another, you know, handful of OTAs. We've got a mandatory mini camp. We'll do a great job and give these guys kind of a prescription when they leave for that month of what to, you know, keep working from a skill development. They'll have their iPads. They'll get to take all the tape home, all the corrections home, all the film home, and keep studying, you know, and keep growing that way so that when training camp comes, it isn't like, you know, back in the day when I was here in 08, we were going to Westminster. You know, there's no CBA in place that said you had to, you know, practice, you know, shorts, maybe spiders, then maybe get into pads, have this ramp up. Like day three, we were full pads. Day four, we were full pads. Day five, we were full pads, and it was two-a-days. You know, so you couldn't. And my point is, like, you had to show up in shape. That you wouldn't make it through the first 3 days of camp. This is really no different. So we've got, you know, good veteran group. We got, you know, leaders in the back end there that we will lean on. Donald and myself will lean on to stay connected with all the guys in the back end so that when we do show up, we hit the ground running, we're in shape, you know, physically. If you don't show up in shape, then as soon as you get tired, this thing slows down, you lose focus, you lose concentration, then you have, you know, a bad day and then fall maybe by another. It can't happen. Say what's that? One more time.
How did this opportunity come about? You gave us a lot of background. Was this something that was kind of stewing with you that you were kind of getting the itch to get back in?
Yeah, I never really stopped thinking about coaching and thinking about the game. I was fortunate, you know, Pat having me on and doing that show, being on the program with him and the boys. You know, that was kind of my football fix. You know, but that was 6 months out. That was football season. You know, but it kept me connected to the game. But I never really stopped thinking about, you know, maybe coming back at some point. My kids, my wife, my daughters. I got 3 daughters. I got 5 grandkids. They don't know any better, but they all thought I retired too young, as it was. But it was 2020. It was coming off of COVID, and I just kind of had enough. I was like, okay, I need a break. Probably like everybody else in the world. But never really stopped thinking about it. This was just probably the only opportunity that would get me off the couch, you know, because, yeah, I was playing golf and working out and playing with my grandkids, and life was pretty good. You know, a lot of my friends back home, like, are you out of your mind? Why would you go back to the grind? You can't replicate this. You can't replicate the grind. It's hard to fill your days. You know, my day was usually, I was done with the workout, honeydews, chores, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, I can't start drinking, you know. I wait to a certain time to start that. But, you know, it's hard to fill your days, you know. So, yeah, it was like I said, an opportunity of a lifetime and probably the only place that could get me to come back.
Is it rubbed off on you? Are you going to be out here wearing sleeveless shirts or something?
I don't think. No, John would kick me out. Like, if you don't have the, you got to wear the right attire. You're not in the right attire, you get sent back in. He don't care how old you are and how many years you got in. No, sir, you got to, yeah, no tank tops. I got guns, too. You'd be.
We heard Zach say that when you first got here, a bunch of guys that come up to you seeking one-on-one advice. Just curious what the acclimation process was like for you, if there's anything you can share about some of those conversations.
They were more like just trying to build relationships from that standpoint. You know, you get hired, you know, they're not here. They're off, you know, in the off-season stuff. So you start texting the players, introducing yourself, tell them how much you're looking forward to, you know, being part of their family, their team, being part of this organization. And then once they start to filter in, then you just really start to build a relationship with them. And not so much even the football side of it. Some had played more than others. Some had a bunch of tape you could look at. Some, you know, hadn't really been on the field yet. You know, first-year guy got injured, didn't get much at TJ, you know, guy like TJ, Bo, you know. So the conversations were great. Again, it was more of just building relationships with these players. And you have a strong bond. And, you know, Dick Vermeil said a long time ago, he said, these players don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, and so I think that's – I've kind of – lived by that philosophy my entire coaching career. So it was more about just building relationships, getting to know these people.
Trump, now that you're back coaching again, any desire to be a head coach again in the NFL?
No, sir. No, sir. You know, that again, I was right place, right time. Got the opportunity of a lifetime. Mr. Irsay, you know, God rest his soul and rest in peace. What a great man. He gave me an opportunity of a lifetime. All that I went through in year one, stood by me, had my back the entire time. But you have no idea. Nobody has no idea until you sit in that seat. And, you know, it's one thing being a position coach. It's another thing being, you know, a coordinator on one side of the ball. You know, you kind of live in your own little world. But, you know, sitting in that seat, you're kind of looking for the head coach manual. You know, 2 days after I was hired in Indy, presser was done and all the media was gone. And I'm going through Jimmy Caldwell's desk looking for the head coach manual, hoping he left it behind, you know. I looked at Tina. I was like, what the frick did we just do to ourselves? You know, so I loved it, you know, but I'd love just, you know, some of my fondest memories and best coaching moments were like the first time I was here and just being a secondary coach and having that room and that group and that bond. Head coaching, they all tell you got to stay involved. You want to keep coaching, but it's damn near impossible because you got, you know, you have to do this 3 out of the 4 days a week. You get a Thursday off. Does John still get Thursdays off? You know, I used to love Thursdays, not because I didn't love the media. Everybody's great people, but it's just a break where you could actually go in and maybe look at some tape and coach some guys up. But you get pulled away from what you love doing, and that's coaching the game because you got so many other things going. So I know that was a long-winded, you know, answer to your question, but no, I'm good. I've had enough of that. I'm just trying to hold on to my job. You know that scanner thing? You know, every morning when I come in, when I scan it, it says access permitted. I'm like, thank you. You know, because you go up and you scan that, and it access denied. It'll say access denied, and I'm like, what did I do wrong? You know, boy, how'd I screw this up? But no.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay, thank you, guys. Good to see everybody.